Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Jeremiah, the 51st chapter. Jeremiah, chapter 51, in your Schofield Bible, page 831. We'll be reading four verses, starting with the 55th verse, and we'll read through verse 58. Verse 58 is the text verse for this morning's message. Once more, Jeremiah, chapter 51, verses 55 through 58. Page 831 in your Schofield Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon, and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered. Because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. And let's pray. Father, what a good day it is. Thank you for the pleasant weather. But above all, thank you for this great church. It's always pleasant in here. And our circumstances certainly are pleasant ones when we think about all you've done for us and given us, and how we thank you for the meeting of the church today, the First Baptist Church family. And we pray that you'd bless us, unite our hearts in the one common goal of hearing yet more from thy word. We pray that you'd bless the preaching and the preacher and help us to give our attention in a very focused way to the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Without your turning to it, I'd like to read my text verse to you this morning, and I'd like to paraphrase it. And this is it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. And here's the text line, the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire. What he's saying is, they will be in the fire in vain, and they shall be weary. Let me paraphrase it. Paraphrase, it says, the people will waste their pain. They will suffer in vain, and they will waste their pain. I want to speak this morning on the subject, wasted pain. Somebody has said, he who preaches to broken hearts will never want for a congregation. 36 years ago, next month, I preached my first sermon in this church. I preached as a guest, and then 36 years ago, month after next, I became its pastor. I think if you'd summarize my ministry in one sentence, you could do it thusly. I spent almost 36 years preaching to broken hearts. That's what the Savior said he was supposed to do when he stood in the Nazareth synagogue and preached his first sermon. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. So I want you to listen carefully. I want you to look right this way. And I want us to hear the message that God has for us. Our Heavenly Father, speak to me this morning, and through me to the hearts of these dear people. I do not know how many thousand of people are here, but I know that behind every breast there's a heart that hurts. On every shoulder there's a burden that's carried. I pray you to help me today to be used of God to teach the people the purpose of that burden and that broken heart. In Jesus' name, amen. get this microphone. I want you to sit up straight. I promise you, as I always do, that on Lord's Supper Day, I start late. I'm starting a little bit later than usual, preaching. I promise you that by 10 minutes after 12, my sermon will have ended. No talking, please. I promise you that by 12:30, we will be gone from this building. Now, those of you who've been here for these years know that I always make that promise on Lord's Supper morning, and without exception, I keep that promise. I will be finished preaching by 10 after 12 or sooner, and you'll be gone by 12:30 or sooner. So listen to me. I've prepared my heart and prepared my message. Please look at me. Please listen to me. And let me be a blessing to you if I can today. I'm going to give you one of the great secrets of my life. One of the great things to whatever degree of success I've arrived and whatever degree of success I've had comes largely because of what I'm going to preach to you this morning. Listen carefully. The congregation to which Jeremiah is preaching is composed of the poorest people of the Jewish nation. The rich folks have been taken to captivity. The craftsmen or the middle class likewise have been taken into captivity. The very, very poor of the Jews are left in the land, and Jeremiah is ministering to these as their preacher. Now bear in mind, hear me, the wall of their city had been leveled. Their beloved temple had been destroyed. Most of their houses had been leveled to the ground. In fact, their entire city was like one block in Oklahoma City was recently. Just leveled. And these people were living in the direst of poverty. He tells them this. Hear me carefully. He says, you have a choice to make. Now, your choice is not between pain and no pain. That's not the choice. By the way, that's not your choice either. In your life, the choice is not between pain and no pain, because you're going to have pain. I promise you that if you're an adult this morning, you have a broken heart. You don't pastor the same people for almost 36 years without knowing something about their broken hearts. I could just go across this platform this morning, and I could tell you the broken hearts of these men on this platform here. Now, I'm not telling you this morning that you have a choice between pain or no pain. The truth is, pain is coming, and in most cases, it's already here. I have a reason this morning why I could weep, and you have a reason why you could weep. I have a heart that's heavy when I stop to realize it, and you likewise have a heart that's heavy. So the choice this morning, Jeremiah said, the choice is not between pain or no pain. Listen carefully. He said the choice, are you listening? He said the choice is between wasted pain and used pain. He said, you folks in captivity, you have a choice. You can use your pain or waste your pain. You see, pain is a tool. Now, you can let that tool of pain lie there and it won't build a house. It won't drive a nail. Or you can take that tool and you can use it for constructive purposes. Now, your life is that way. You have pain this morning. And you can waste that pain if you want to. Or you can use that pain if you want to. Let me illustrate. In 1941, America was attacked insidiously, are you listening to me, by Japanese at Pearl Harbor. We were thrown into a war we did not want to fight, and two wars we did not want to fight, one in Europe, one in the East. We did not want to fight them. But America in those days had some character. We didn't have a president in the White House that was a draft dodger in those days. In fact, nobody that we even knew were draft dodgers. And we didn't even know a queer in those days either, by the way. I mean, America had some character in those days. And the young men didn't run from the war, they went to the war. And they said, we have an attack on our nation, and our nation is our nation, and we love it. And we tightened our belts, rationed our food, said goodbye to our young men, and the ladies stayed at home and tried to keep the home fires burning, and America was in pain. Now, the tragic thing is, we've not used that pain. That pain should have been used to make us a stronger nation. But what do we have? We have a Hugh Hefner-type nation, a Playboy-type nation, a queer-type nation, a baby-killing-type nation. Why? Because the pain that we had, we've not used. We wasted World War II. We wasted the pain of World War II. Same is true with Vietnam. I said, suffering is a tool. Now, that suffering that you, that pain you feel this morning, the pain of a husband that forsaken you for somebody else, the pain of a child. Just this last Thursday and Friday, I was down in North Carolina preaching in Winston-Salem. One of our graduates, I'll call the name, Cape, wasn't it? Cape. He's pastoring in Georgia, I think it is. He drove all the way from Georgia to Winston-Salem just to see me because he just found out that his little child, about 9 years old, had a disease. This keeps you awake, doesn't it? You awake, Brother John? Well, you haven't got a thing to buffer this with either, you know it. But the Capes drove all the way to Winston-Salem, hours upon hours. Got there during the service and met me after the service so I could anoint their daughter with oil and pray for her. They just found out that she had a disease that's causing the side of her face to cave in. Actually, there were two little ridges here. This already, the one side of her forehead was caving in. And that's a young couple. Just a few months ago, they were here, a young pastor. And that's symbolic of everybody. Everybody here has a burden this morning. Everybody has a heartache today. Now, the truth is, you can use that burden and use that pain. God said to Israel, He said, you've had a pain and a burden, but you're no better for it. You're not using it for your growth and your betterment. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, the most growth you'll ever have comes because of your pain and heartache and suffering. You know, suffering is a tool. You may store it or you may use it. You may waste it or find use for it. Let me illustrate. Old illustration. Used it before, but it's perfect for this. I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I was preaching. I got the worst toothache I ever had in my life, and there's nothing worse than a toothache. And it was unbearable. I preached that Monday night and went home, went back to the room, couldn't sleep. Next morning, preached again, but I couldn't take it any longer. I said, Pastor, I said, I've got to have this tooth looked at. The pastor took me to a dentist, and the dentist said, you've got to have an immediate root canal. So he gave me a root canal. And of course, that's painful. And so got through the root canal, went out in the car, but my tooth was still hurting. And I said, Pastor, I haven't got any relief at all. I went back in. I said, Doctor, my tooth is still hurting. He looked at it and said, Oh, I got the wrong tooth. He gave me a second. That's not as bad as the guy where they cut the wrong leg off. Did you hear about that in the paper? Boy, it'd be awful hard to get home. But I went back in. He gave me a root canal in the other tooth. Now, one root canal was used, and the other root canal was wasted. And there are people this morning just like my two teeth sitting side by side here, and each has a burden. And one is using that burden to make him a better Christian, using that burden to help others, using that burden to help him prepare for life, and the other person, because of a pity party and self-pity, is wasting your heartache and wasting your burden. God says here to Israel, He says, you can be used if you just don't waste the pain. And this morning, the pain is a tool. Pick it up and use it. Don't waste it. Let me illustrate. There were many poor boys reared in Lisbon, in the Lisbon area of Dallas, Texas. I lived in the ghetto. Everybody was poor where I lived. There are many poor boys in the ghettos. Now, what's the difference in those other boys and this boy? The difference is I did not waste my poverty. You think I have? Look at these homeless people up here this morning. That's why they're there. Because I was a poor boy. You don't believe it? You go out and watch the buses as they come in this morning, as they leave after a while. You watch those buses. Those buses with hundreds and thousands of poor people will roll in today. Why? Because I did not waste my poverty. I picked up my poverty and I said, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to use it. Hey, use that pain to make you a better child of God. Use it to make you useful. Illustration. There are many boys in my neighborhood that had drunken fathers. My father was an alcoholic, as you know. But I wasn't the only one. We had many fellows in our neighborhood whose dads were drunkards. Now, what's the difference in those fellows and me? I used my drunken father. I used my broken home. I used it. I didn't sit down and say, well, I can't amount to anything. No, sir. Praise God, I used it. And I'll tell you, every little kid that comes to First Baptist Church of Hammond, whose daddy's left his mama, and daddy was out drunk last night, he's here because I was a son of a drunkard father. And because I used it, I'm saying, cancel your pity party, and cancel your self-pity, and cancel your lamentation, and get up and say, whatever God has given me in the way of pain, I'm going to use it for the glory of Almighty God. Wasted pain. Hey, it's bad enough to grow up in the ghettos, but how pitiful to waste that. It's bad enough to have a drunkard father. How pitiful to waste it. It's bad enough to have your father leave you and your mother to live alone in poverty. It's bad enough. Whatever God, Paul said, what's happened to me has fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. Our pathfinders and sunbeams today started because of a lady and a husband who had a retarded daughter. And they did not waste the fact that they had a retarded daughter. They decided to start the ministry for the retarded. There they are right there. They decided to start the ministry for the retarded in First Baptist Church of Hammond. And those all the pathfinders, raise your hand, would you please? All these pathfinders over here, thank you. They're here because somebody said, okay, we have a daughter who's retarded. It's a pain. We're not going to waste that pain. We're going to use that pain. Dr. Bill Rice, my beloved friend whose funeral I spoke and who's in heaven now, Dr. Bill Rice and his wife Kathy had a little girl named Betty. Betty, all of a sudden, she got developed as a little baby. They found out she wasn't responding. They took her to every doctor they could. And they found out that she was deaf. And they had to face the fact that they had a daughter that would never hear the sound of whippoorwill. She'd never hear an I love you. Never hear a sermon. Never hear mama's voice. Never hear daddy's voice. Never hear the sound of the birds and never hear the church choir. All of a sudden they faced it. There was a pain. They had to live with it. What did they do? They didn't say, oh, it's not fair. God's not good. Hey, God's always good, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't say that. Dr. Bill said, we'll pick that pain up. We'll pick up that tool and we'll use that tool to the glory of God. I wonder how many thousands and tens of thousands of deaf people have seen and heard the gospel as they heard with their eyes, the dedicated hands, because Dr. Bill Rice said, we're not going to lament this thing. We're not going to let the tool that God has given us lie dormant. We're going to pick it up and use it. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste the deafness of your daughter. Use it to bring thousands into the kingdom. Don't waste your pain and suffering. Don't waste your daughter who's retarded. Use that pain for the salvation of people like this over here. You've heard this story. So applicable. Her name was Nell DeBoard. Nell and Jake, members of our church in Texas. I won Nell to the Lord one afternoon. She was out working in the flower bed and I was out soul winning. Young couple, I won Nell to Christ. She said, come back tonight and tell Jake what you told me. I went back that night. Nell was washing dishes and
In those days you washed them in the sink and didn't have dishwashers and so forth, and had super suds there. And she was washing dishes and she was praying that I'd win Jake. And I was with the in the front room with Jake. I won Jake to Christ, and as soon as he got saved, nailed aboard, came unglued. She hadn't been saved but a few hours. She came unglued and super suds went all over the living room, all over Jake, and all over me. We had a little revival meeting that night. Just a few weeks later, Christmas time. In fact, it was Christmas, the day before Christmas. As I remember correctly, at least it was a few, just not long before Christmas. The little 15-month-old boy David got a fever. And Nell picked David up and took him to the doctor. Just maybe a bad cold, maybe an ear infection or something. She took that little 15-month-old boy David to the doctor. She got out of the car, went around, got David, picked David up in her arms, and was carrying David to the doctor's office. And before she got to the door of the doctor's office, little David died in her arms. Now she's got pain. What will she do with it? Will she let that pain lie dormant? Will she feel sorry for herself? Will she think God's been bad to her? Will she be bitter at God? Would she feel like she's not gotten a good shake in life? Let me tell you, brother, if your name is written in heaven, you haven't gotten a bad shake in life. If you're a recipient of the gospel of the grace of God and your sins are washed in the blood that juice represents this morning, you haven't gotten a bad shake in life. If you're going to go to heaven forever, you have no right to complain. But Nell DeBoer picked up that pain. And she said, I'm going to use that pain. Every day, Nell DeBoer got the Dallas Morning News and the Dallas Times Herald. Every day she opened it to the obituaries. And every day she checked for anybody who had lost a child. And Nell went to the funeral home. Listen to me. She went to the funeral homes and stood beside parents that she never knew before and told them that she was praying for them. And Nell DeBoer won countless scores of people to Christ because little David died in her arms. Jeremiah said to Israel, Israel, you've had to suffer. You're poor. You've had to suffer. Your walls are down. Your houses are leveled. The temple is leveled. He said, don't waste your pain. Use your pain. There are many pastors in America who've had battles. I'm not the only pastor who's faced battles. But there's a difference in this old preacher here and a lot of preachers. I didn't waste my battles. I didn't waste them. At 68, almost 69 years of age, I'm happier than I've ever been in my life. I preach more than I've ever preached. I preach harder, preach louder, run more, stomp more, jump more. Why? Tell you exactly why. It's bad enough to suffer, but ladies and gentlemen, pick up that suffering and say, with the grace of God, I'm chasing the devil with it. Now, you're not the devil, but you did duck. What you going to do with your pain? Use it. Many parents, and I hesitate to say this, many parents have had heartbreaks. We're not the only folks that have had times of disappointment. But there's one thing that Jack Hiles and Beverly George Hiles have done. We've picked up the pain and we've used it for God. Why are you going, Brother Hiles, they ask, harder than ever? Why are you preaching harder than ever? Why? Listen carefully. In a time of pain and heartache, I doubt if I've said this to you. I may have, but I doubt it. In a time of pain or heartache because of a heartbreak, I promise God I'd do the work of two men. as a senior citizen. I promised God I'd do the work of two men. My life has been a life filled with tears. It's just like yours has. Mine no worse than yours. Yours no worse than mine. We live on the same earth. We have the same temptation, same testing, same suffering, same pain, same heartache. But there are people this morning sitting there and doing nothing but whining and complaining and wishing they were better and not enjoying life. And the pain is sitting there like a tool that's unused. But thanks be to God, there's some people here this morning who picked up that tool of pain and said, I'll beat the devil out of the devil with it. That's what I'll do. And Jeremiah said, don't waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. He said those houses that have been destroyed, that temple that's been leveled, and that wall that's been torn down, and the heartache, and your fellow countrymen are now in Babylon, and you're here in poverty, disease, heartache, heartbreak. He said, don't waste it. Read the biographies of all the great men. And those men were made great, just like Jesus was made great. Hebrews reminds us that He was made perfect through suffering. He was made perfect through suffering. Didn't say He was made perfect through seminary training. Didn't say He was made perfect through a college degree. Didn't say He was made perfect through luxury. It said He was made perfect through suffering. Check the great preachers. Check them. Dr. Lee Robertson was in a revival campaign. Got a call that his little baby girl, Joy, had died. Got in his car and drove home and picked up that death of that little baby girl and has used it to build what they call Camp Joy. And thousands have been saved because Dr. Robertson was made perfect in suffering. Dr. Tom Malone had to be reared by his grandparents. John Bunyan spent 12 years in a dusty, rat-infested prison. Bill Rice, deaf daughter. John Rice, death of his mother when he was a little boy. Name it. Battles, heartaches, sorrows, trials. The difference in thousands of preachers and John Bunyan is what they did with their pain. The difference in thousands of preachers and Lee Robertson and John Rice and Dr. Bill Rice and Tom Malone and Charles Haddon Spurgeon, all the rest of them, is what did they put their pain right there like you put yours and do not use it? No, sir. They said, we'll take our pain and we'll use it to the glory of God Almighty. Jeremiah said, what a tragedy for you to have wasted pain. I've studied everyone I could find who has the same pains that I've had and how they use them. Fanny Crosby was blind and used it. Many have been blind and wasted it. Charles Weigel was abandoned by his wife, who said, I'll not be a preacher's wife. She left him. He sat there with a broken heart and wrote, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I've found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And he wrote the song, and Charles Weigel picked up that pain in his heart because his wife had left him and used it to become the great Charles Weigel that he was to bless millions of people for God. Tim and Betty McCurdy, little boy, no response. It's been 15 months now since they found him face down in the swimming pool. It's been 15 months since he said a word. It's been 15 months since he responded to anything. He just looks at you, never responds. Tim and Betty McCurdy said, we're not going to waste that pain. We're going to use it for God. There have been thousands and millions of people who've had similar cases who wasted the pain. I say pain is the tool. My little mother, everything that could happen bad to a woman happened to her, but every time she had a pain, she picked it up and started using it to the glory of God Almighty. Another old story. I close with it. He was a good-looking man. Young fella, 28, 30 years of age. Walked down the aisle one day, blonde, handsome young man. Walked down the aisle one day in Garland, Texas, and said, "Brother Hiles, God's called me to preach." And I stood up and I said, "Folks," I called him a name. I said, "He's surrendering his life to preach." He said, "Oh, no, 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 I'm not either. No, I'm not." He said, "God's called me, but I can't preach because we have a little baby. And I've got to make a living and rear that child." And I said, "Man, God will take care of you if he's called you to preach. Preach!" He said, no. A little baby. He walked down the aisle a few months later and said, "Brother Howes, God's calling to preach, but I can't do it." He said, "I've got a baby. God's calling to preach. I've got to think about the baby's education, his college, and his training. And I've got to think about rearing the child. I can't preach. I wish I'd been called sooner, but I can't preach." I said, "Man, if God's called you, do it." Little baby took sick after several months and died. I stood in the Williams Funeral Chapel in Garland, Texas, and preached this funeral service to that little baby. Listen to me. That young man walked by, and I was standing there beside the casket, right here beside the casket in that little funeral chapel. Everybody else had come by and seen the body of that precious, beautiful little doll-like child. Here came this young man by. Reached his arms down under the baby and picked that little baby up and held him in his arms, the lifeless form of that little corpse, and turned around and looked at the people holding that corpse in his arms with tears streaming down his cheeks. He said, "I can preach now. I can preach now. I can preach now." And now for these almost 40 years, he's been a faithful preacher of the Word of God because he picked up his pain and used it. What are you doing with your pain? Using it or wasting it? It's a tool that God has allowed to come to your hands. You may use it. I plead with you, don't waste it. Would you bow your heads? No one will leave, please.